Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Griffin. How you doing?
I'm okay, I guess. Yeah.
We're sad pandas.
Oh, man. I hate when the internet doesn't work right.
Yeah, still working on getting that previous episode, the 6-hour extravaganza, up on iTunes, huh?
Yeah, still working on that. I don't know. You can still listen to it, but I don't know. I'm trying a bunch of things, so hopefully it will come together.
Yeah.
Hopefully this will work, too.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll keep our fingers crossed. But in the meantime, let's talk video games, my friend.
Exactly. I would love to talk about some video games, because you know what? It's been a long time.
It has been a while. A very long time.
And it's 2014.
It's a brand new year.
We're almost a month in.
Indeed. And in fact, there has been some happenings.
Yeah.
I'm surprised by the number of new games that have come out in like the new year that I've played. And I'm also surprised by the amount of news that has appeared.
Mm-hmm.
I usually think of January as like the lull month where just nothing happens.
Right. Where everybody just keeps putting out their Game of the Year editions and Game of the Year
like Tomb Raider
wrap-ups. Yeah.
And their next-gen experience for $60.
Worth every penny.
I got Tomb Raider for $10 in the Steam sale, and I'm sure the graphical fidelity is higher than the one I could pay $60 for on PS4, which is very sad.
Yeah.
Didn't that not work very well with Deus Ex? I don't know why they did it again.
Who knows, man? That is brilliant marketing over there on that side from Square Enix.
Dude,
just out of the park every time.
You know, we have some Square Enix games to talk about in this podcast.
Yeah, oddly enough, we do.
Should we start off talking about games, or should we hit the news first?
I think we should talk about this extremely pressing, important video game from Square Enix that I am so ready for.
Are you referring to the hotly anticipated, please understand or whatever, Lightning Returns, Final Fantasy 13?
No, I'm looking forward to LRFFXII.
Is that the only thing you know it as?
It is, yeah, because when you go and you download the demo off Xbox Live Marketplace, it doesn't say any words, it's just that.
That's probably how the kids write it when they're texting.
Well, it's just like, well, nope, Final Fantasy games, you finally did it, you got too long, nobody can actually write your stupid titles anymore.
Does this game have Snapchat support?
Snapchat?
Snapchat, yeah.
I think so, right? Like,
okay,
the
good.
Lightning can take pictures of selfies of her boobs and stuff.
If they really want to appeal to teenagers, then they need to have Snapchat support baked in.
Yeah, I agree. Snapchat and Kick.
When you boot the game up, though, I don't know if they did this in the second one, but the first thing you do is they're like, hey, do you want to link up with Facebook and Twitter?
Really?
Yeah. You didn't get this? The outer net or whatever?
Oh, yeah, I did, but it failed.
Oh, for real? Okay.
So I don't think I'm going to get my crazy armor for finishing the demo or whatever.
You're not going to get your Siegfried tiger armor or something? I don't know.
I don't know.
So, yeah, that game.
Lightning Returns, Final Fantasy 13, the demo came out just a few days ago.
Yeah, like, what the hell? Like, I played it, you played it. And
I love it. You love it.
It's amazing.
It is. Yep.
It's so stupid. It's like they've gone so far that they've crossed over, like, mm-hmm. they've like gone over the precipice of stupidity and just landed in like the spike pool of wonderment or something.
The singularity has happened. They've passed through the black hole of nonsensical bullshit, and now it's actually awesome.
Yeah, they've gone so far.
They've pulled a Kojima, one might say.
One might say that. I think they've just crossed into like the... It's almost they're engaging in self-parody without even realizing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, the story of that demo, I don't understand it at all. It's great. It's the worst kind of trash, and it's hilarious and wonderful, and people are fighting for reasons that don't make any sense, and pretty shit is happening on screen for reasons that don't make any sense, like the whole chandelier falling.
Yeah. And then it just forms a Final Fantasy logo.
Yeah, that probably cost them, you know, like, I don't know, thousands and thousands of dollars to make.
I think they had to sacrifice a small village and reap their souls and use that to fuel the engine to build that graphically.
It literally adds nothing. Yep. I couldn't even Apparently Snow has ice powers now.
Yeah. Well, that would make sense, right? Didn't he always have that or something?
I don't know.
I don't know. Whatever. He's not Snow to me. It's Troy. Everybody sounds so freaking bored. Like, I love the voice acting because it's so blasé. Like, he's just, oh, I see you're here or something, Lightning. This fall CLE, my arms. All right, see ya. And then she's like, oh, Jennifer Hale, I'm just going to read these lines.
No, it's Allie Hillis.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's someone else.
Then she's doing her best Jennifer Hale impression, and it is spot on.
The great thing about it is, I think for some story conceit reason, like, I don't know exactly why, Lightning is actually supposed to be an emotionless being in this game, which is hilarious, because that's what she's always been.
Right.
But yeah, the story opens and Lightning and Snow are fighting and nobody cares why. Like, yeah. I don't think anyone on this earth cares why they're fighting.
Right.
But then you get into a battle.
Nightclub dance party.
Oh yeah, there's like nightclub strippers.
Yeah,
and
it's gone full Bayonetta, like crazy demons coming out of walls and
Lightning slides down walls.
Yeah. yes.
But then you get into a battle and it's actually amazing.
It is.
Are you still with me, Griffin?
I am.
Okay, I just got a weird internet thing.
Put it away.
Okay. Should I click on it?
Take your weird internet things and invest them in bitcoins.
Dogecoin.
Yes, yeah.
Coinye.
More stable. Much stable.
Are you familiar with Coinye? Coinye West?
No. No, what is that?
It's the latest hot cryptocurrency.
Oh, cool.
Now that adults have discovered Bitcoin, all the teens are using Kanye West.
Oh, so are they saying that now it's true one man has all that power?
Yes. I believe they changed it to the gay fish from South Park.
Okay.
Because apparently Kanye West was not pleased that his likeness was being used for Kanye West, so they changed it over to a fish.
Shocking.
Anyway, though, combat in that game is amazing. It's really, really fun, and they took the ridiculous, like, they took the cool idea that was Paradigm Shifts, and they made it not bad.
Well said.
And they also made it into, like, an actual action game, as opposed to, like, pseudo turn-based, real-time mess AI party members nonsense.
Right. It's no longer couch action. It's real action.
Yeah, and they like stripped out all the superfluous elements. Like, no longer do you have like a move set that's like 8,000 pages long, but you only use one move.
Mm-hmm.
You only have four moves in each of your schema, and you can actually customize them. But it's each move is assigned to a face button, so you don't have to go through any menus. It's all right in front of you. They took away your other party members. It's just Lightning. Yep. She's all three party members now because she has three different schema she can be. And they just, it's just fun to play.
It is, yeah. Yep. The battles are really fun. And even though it kind of like blows you away immediately by starting where it's like, here's 18 gauges, remember? It's a Final Fantasy game. But then, you know, with just a little playing, you kind of see how they work. And it also doesn't really matter.
Not at all, no. I got one star the first time I played through on the battle. And then I liked it so much that I played it again. And you actually do kind of learn, but even if you don't, it like doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter.
Right. It's great, though. I mean, like, it still uses, like, the ATB and all that stuff, but instead it's more of, like, a regenerating... It's more of, like, it kind of falls into that MMO thing where you're, like, you're doing moves, you're exhausting a energy bar, and then you're waiting for it to refill for you to perform other abilities, but then you can switch to your other characters slash outfits for Lightning, and then you'll have a full bar of abilities on there. So yeah, hypothetically, you can like have some crazy Devil May Cry strings of combos where you're just launching fools and keeping them locked down and pushing them into stun statuses and whatnot if you're doing the right moves and switching quickly.
Yeah, that was the cool thing about it. Like, you have, like you said, you have these ATB bars and they refill over time, but you can swap, and while you're on the other like schema or whatever, then your ATB bar is filling up for the other one. So, like, as you said, you can, in theory, just infinitely chain moves together, and you always have something to do.
Yeah.
And they add, like, all the moves seem like they have, like, certain unique properties, and they also add, like, an interesting little twist. Like, you have different types of guarding you can do. And it's all just enough to be interesting, but not enough to overwhelm. Like, you can guard, or you can do, like, a counter guard, or you have a much smaller window.
Or if you just time a guard right, like you can occasionally get like a reflect off it or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And just, you have like 6 schema in the demo, and I think in the actual game you'll have like tons of them. But yeah, even in those 6 schema, there's so many interesting like combinations and cool shit going on. And I just want to understand that system. It's like a really cool system, mechanically speaking.
Yep.
And I completely did not expect it.
Me either. I did not expect any of this, but I know, Jeff, you had heard some praise for it and always carrying the torch for Final Fantasy nonsense, so I'm glad that you kept the hope alive.
Hope Eslime?
Yes.
Mr. Hope Eslime?
Yep.
The dialogue is just, for some reason, Hope is back to being a 14-year-old boy, despite being older in the second game, and he just talks to you all the time.
It's great. That's how it should be. Like, there should be somebody just... The game is so... It reminds me a lot of Persona now, where, like, you're... Persona 4, that is. Like, you're running through the dungeon, you're hitting enemies to get an advantage over them. They're viewable on the screen. You're going into battle, and then, like, outside of battle, you're constantly getting talked to by people, and you're just like, ugh, I don't give a shit about what you're saying, but also don't stop.
The great thing is, yeah, they just keep talking, but you can get into a battle and just completely ignore them. And then after the battle, like, it won't load the voice clip, but you can just read what they said.
Yep.
So, like, they talk, but you don't have to actually listen to them or deal with them at all. Which is cool. Like, it doesn't force you to slow down when Hope talks to you or anything like that. He's just babbling. And like you said, somehow it just kind of like sets the mood, even though you just don't care.
It does. I really like it. Like, it, and then I don't know what that means at the end of the demo, where they're like, oh, we're going to return you back to the mother base. You got to this part of the dungeon. So hopefully that means there'll be some open world sort of aspects to returning to old dungeons and going to different places and whatnot.
That's how I understood it to be. And if you watch the little, you know, hype video at the end, there are like 4 major regions of the world. And I think you can like go around, and there's like time sensitive events and stuff.
Yeah,
that sounds great. Like, I'm ready to get my Majora's Mask on, you know?
Yeah, totally. I am ready for that. And the timer, like, I don't know if that was for demo purposes or I just hope that's how the game is, where the timer is just kind of like arbitrarily stuck at certain points, which is not going to count down. You're like, oh, 16 days left or something. I don't know. Who gives a shit?
There's so many systems in that game.
Yeah.
And as you said, when you first get into a battle, the screen is like a hot mess because you got like your overclock and your items and your attacks, but it's not too bad. And
no.
I do like that they let you sit in the menus without the timer running down for as long as you want.
Yep.
Because dressing lightning up is actually really fun.
Yeah, I'm kind of, as shameful as it is, like, I was going to that like dress up thing, and I was like, oh shit, like, this is actually kind of cool.
I'm not ashamed. I feel like,
well, it's so exploitative, like, but it's like it's done like, really well.
Yeah, but like, there's the sexy elements, but like, you can also like just put sunglasses on her, which is really funny. And like, when I first pulled out like the dragoon with the sunglasses on,
yeah,
I was like, oh, the dragoon wears sunglasses. But then I realized they were equipped and you could take them off. And I was like, oh my God, I got my own Barbie. Because that's all she is. She's a Barbie.
Yeah. Emotionless.
Yeah.
I am the savior. This is my favorite savior on the Citadel.
A little Mass Effect in there.
Yeah.
It was great. I had a really good time with it, and it's definitely the pleasant surprise of 2014 so far.
Right. It's gone from being completely uninteresting to me to swing in the other direction, where I'm like, this could be the best Final Fantasy I've played in years already.
Yeah, I'm actually considering a pre-order at this point, just for the costumes. Like, they got me.
Yeah. I'm not going to go that far in. Like, I can't do that. I can't do that.
Half price a week later.
No, I can't buy it and get a costume for a pre-order, because then that opens the gate into like needing all the costumes.
I see.
So if I get that one, then I'm gonna have to be like, well, shit. Like, can I get the pre-order costume for this thing? Or now I'm missing that one and I have this one, and I don't. It's so stressful.
That's what Square Enix wants you to do. Did I tell you about that time when I like signed up for the rewards club for Square Enix? And to get the top tier rewards, you have to buy the same game on multiple platforms.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
Brilliant.
Love you, Square. You're the best.
How else are you going to get your back supply of energy drink potions?
I bought one of those when I was in Japan.
Yeah. Did that make it back with you?
I don't remember. Huh. It's been consumed by now.
Okay, good.
That much I do know.
I was going to say, that thing's probably like turned into some weird materia or something at this point.
Yeah, I think over time it gets mastered and then it reproduces. Either that or it like turns into an elixir.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, it gets better. And then not only do you recover health from it, but then you just instantly die because you drank it.
Yeah, so 13 is amazing.
It is. It's
series redeemed.
Yep. Yes. I'm ready to love again.
I am ready to love again.
What next? Sonic Good game?
Sonic Good.
I don't know.
Oh,
Sonic good game that's good?
Don't even joke about that.
Yeah, I know. It's not funny.
That's a horrible thing to say. Oof. I actually was considering, I have the Amazon page open right now as one of my Google tabs of Sonic Lost World for $30, and I keep considering buying it.
I think that's too much money.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll probably go down.
Well, I mean, it doesn't, it's been kind of bashed critically, and it looks just like more Sonic.
It looks cool, though. It's the one that takes a lot of cues from Mario Galaxy.
But in all the worst ways, where it's like, now you do the same shit as you were doing before, where you run down tubes and stuff, but then here's some really awful platforming that doesn't work because Sonic doesn't play like that.
Yeah, I should just buy Sonic Colors. That's supposed to be the good one.
Yes, yep. Yeah. And it's got good music. Really good music.
Sonic occasionally has good music.
Yeah.
And then occasionally has lots of great butt rock.
Yeah.
Featuring ridiculous male singers.
Sonic R is a bevy of hot Sonic trash.
Everybody's Super Sonic Racing.
That one is actually pretty good. But what is the city song? Living in the city. That's a good one. That's a really good song.
I just remember the lady going, "Now race."
Yeah.
Everybody Super Sonic Racing. It's a good one.
It's beautiful.
Anyway.
Yep.
So, hey.
We played some other games, didn't we? What else?
We did play some other games. Let's cover some other games that we both played.
Okay, great.
I'm moving to this one right here that I'm highlighting. Ah. The listeners can't tell what I'm highlighting.
Yeah,
right
for
now.
Premium listeners who are in-house, you'll see what Jeff is highlighting.
For the low price of $500,000.
That's right. That's top tier backers.
I have to fear that the only people who listen to us must be really eccentric, and at least some of them are billionaires.
No doubt. Yeah.
So they'll pay that to be part of the Google Doc.
Yeah. Come look at this. You can see Jeff's highlighting Broken Age.
Yeah. So Broken Age, which was broken in half.
No. More like broken.
It wasn't too broken.
Age.
I did find a couple glitches.
See, there was a 6 months gap in between the first and the second part of that title.
Oh, you clever, clever bastard. Yeah, so that dropped a week ago.
Yeah, beta and backer access only.
Yes, and we both had some time to play it. Mm-hmm. Did you finish it up, Griffin?
Nope.
Okay. I finished Shay's part of it, and I did, like, let's say 20 minutes of Vela's. Mm. Okay, so I'm going to give my impressions of it.
Please do.
It is really short. I finished Shays in like a little over an hour, and I'll probably finish Vela's in about the same amount of time, which is okay, I guess. I mean, there's going to be another half of it, and each title, I think, is going to have two stories. I mean, maybe even more in the second one, I don't know. A stretch goal. I guess what just kind of pervaded the whole experience for me was like, this is what $3 million.
This is what $3 million looks like.
And like, it looks and kind of plays like Baby's First adventure game.
Uh-huh.
Which is really, I mean, it's got some cute moments. It's got some great kind of Tim Schafer humor, and it does sort of pick up after a little while, but I just found myself thinking the whole time, like, wow, this there's not really a lot going on here. And, like, just when it started to get interesting, is over.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a bummer.
Now they
hooked
you.
Yeah,
now you gotta back it again.
I just don't know what to make of it. Like, it's not a bad game, I guess I would say, but I'm disappointed that this is what is it, like almost 2 years of waiting.
Yeah.
And, $3 million bought.
If you're to look at it like objectively and say, this is the game I played, like outside factors, not taking any merit or not having any merit in your thoughts on it. Like, is it still good or is it still too baby-y?
I think it's a little baby-y, but I think it has its merits. I would maybe pay, $10 for it. I don't know. I mean, it's got a kind of a cute little story. It does pick up. Which path did you play, Griffin?
I played the Shay story.
The Shay story is kind of a bad way to start the game out, actually.
Really?
I've got to say. Yeah, because I feel like the storytelling in the very beginning is a little bit rough.
Mm.
I feel like it doesn't really set up the character very well.
Okay.
Like I knew what I was supposed to expect from the character, but if I went into it blind, I would say that you don't really get a good picture of exactly what you don't. It's not as well executed as I have seen with similar types of stories. Like, I don't feel like his character was set up very well from the outset. Like, it takes too long for you to understand. Like, I don't know. It takes a little bit too long for you to grasp exactly where he's coming from.
Okay.
And there's just some story beats that I felt were delivered a little bit oddly, like maybe a little bit too minimalistically. I don't know. That's just how I felt.
I'll have to play it and finish it. Since you say it is short, I should be able to find a couple hours to wrap it up.
Oh yeah, you'll finish it in like probably 3 hours.
Yeah.
I got to
the fox thing, and then I was like, well, this is boring still.
I like the fox. The fox, I felt, was actually where it kind of started to pick up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that also like the beginning of the game, like it's supposed to be boring because he's bored,
mm-hmm.
but it's also just boring.
Right. Right. I mean, I understand form and content, like having the player have an association with the character that's being, but it's still supposed to be fun. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And you have to, like, you do this thing like, where like it's
papers,
pretty
papers,
cute.
Please already happened.
You do this thing where it's kind of cute. Like you go into a captain's chair and you're supposed to do all these missions, and it turns out all the missions are like fake. Mm-hmm. So you do four different missions and they're all fake and they're all like, that's kind of funny and still a little boring. And then you have to do them again.
Yep.
While you look for the one that you can exploit to like move on in the story.
Yep.
And you're like, really? Like, why are you doing this to me?
Mm-hmm.
Why not streamline this piece?
Mm-hmm.
I think that once you get past that segment, it gets a little better. And I think just from what I played of Vela's story, it kind of grabs you a little more from the start.
Okay.
I just think that there's some issues with some pacing. I don't know. It doesn't feel like a $3 million game. And I hate to keep hammering that point, but it really doesn't. It feels kind of like an iPad game, which I'm sure it will be at some point because it's basically made for iPad. But it just doesn't. I'm not impressed. Yeah, go ahead.
My disinterest with the game, I mean, it is boring, I think. You're right, it is a lot like Baby's First Adventure Game. I mean, it's still very adventure game-y, but it just doesn't do anything interesting at all. Like, it has a really cool, beautiful art style, but it's like, yeah, that's, I mean, not really saying a whole lot. Like, it looks great, but...
Yeah, it does look great, yeah.
I'm just really disappointed because... if this was supposed to be like Tim Schafer's secret side ambition of this adventure game that he's always wanted to make, and he just hasn't had the time or resources to do it, and then finally, he's been given that, and this is what happens to him, and it's like, oh boy, like, okay, well, it's been a good run. Like, I still really like Psychonauts.
Yeah, it's like you would expect, like you said, it's his passion project. You would expect it to be bursting with life.
Yeah.
But the world's a little bit dead. Like, there's not a lot of stuff to interact with. There is some.
It's not that funny. It is. I mean, I think that Elijah Wood's acting is very Elijah Wood.
Yeah, I think the game was somewhat hurt by the voice cast, honestly. I think that Tim Schafer's works better when it's being delivered just as text on the screen, honestly.
I don't know.
You don't know?
That Psychonauts game was pretty good.
That's true. It was. Well, okay, yeah. Elijah Wood.
And so was Brutal Legend.
I haven't played that yet, so I don't know. I won't say that Elijah Wood was phoning it in, but yeah, his performance is a little bit uneven at times. And the other thing I was going to say is, when I compare it to like earlier Tim Schafer games, like early adventure games, it's not nearly as like madcap or ridiculous. Like when I think of those games, I think of ridiculous item combinations, really zany and weird characters.
Right.
And I just didn't really encounter that here.
And I would like to compare it to the handful of games that came out of Double Fine in the last couple of years, where it's like, hey, this game ain't no costume quest or stacking. Like, both of those games had a million times the amount of characters this game does. And, I mean, I don't... Gameplay for stacking, as it was, at least, was interesting, if not, you know, a little different. And I think Costume Quest was just so, you know, saccharine and fucking charming that you can't say anything negative about it, even if it was a little repetitive. But I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a bad game. It's just, unfortunately, it had a lot to live up to, and I'm not sure that it reached those heights. And I'm not sure that I would recommend it at $15, honestly. Doesn't really feel like a $15 product to me.
Well, I think it's fine as a $15 product for the if you're saying, hey, do you like adventure games? Do you like Tim Schafer's brand of old LucasArts or Sierra-style adventure games? Like, well, this is going to be as close as you can get to that, and it's good.
I don't know. I mean, I just, comparing it to his old stuff, it's just not, it doesn't grab you as quickly, and it just, there's not as much going on in terms of really like interesting and fun characters and goofy like stuff to look at. There was some, like, did you refuse all the cereals?
Yeah.
Okay. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah. That was all right, I guess.
I liked how that went on for like, you know, 10 or 15 cereals.
Yeah. There was a lot there.
Yeah, there was.
That was one good, that was a $1 million joke right there.
Yeah, the whole thing, it's just, what happened? Like, you know, it's good, but it's not that good.
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, maybe we're being a little too harsh on it. All I can say, though, is hopefully the second half ends up being more interesting and pulls everything together and really, really, like, brings its A game in the second showing.
Yeah, because at least for me, these are characters that I'm interested in, like, continuing with. Like, yeah, I'd love to have the rest of the game, please, that I paid for. But I'm interested in them. It was a little slow, and I was surprised with how abruptly it ended, considering how little I actually did, I guess.
Yeah.
I haven't finished Vela yet, so maybe that'll be fun. It already looks more fun, honestly.
I'm surprised to hear the different accounts of how many people say each one is better than the other and what merits are more worthwhile. So at the very least, it's creating some buzz.
I think that, you should play Vela and come back maybe next time we meet up and we should talk about that, because it's looking promising, and it actually looks a lot more funny than Chase Quest was. So okay. I'm very curious to see what you think. Anyway, though.
Faith renewed.
Yeah, we'll have to see. And, you know, like I said, I haven't finished it yet, but yeah. I'm pretty close.
Anyway. Jeff, are you playing... How are you playing more Bravely Default Flying Fairy?
Oh, well, I'm done with it now, but have we talked about it yet?
I don't know. I know we talked about it in our anticipated thing.
Okay, well, I'll touch on it briefly.
No one has heard?
Yeah, that no one has heard.
Yeah.
I'll touch on it briefly. The demo came out. Griffin and I both played that as well. I really liked it. I felt like it was kind of a poor demo, though, and that it just kind of drops you in the middle of the action. And it just kind of expects you, I guess, to like look online to figure out how to use its systems or something. I don't know. I think it looks adorable. I'm still really excited for it. I think the demo is shit. I think it's got Ni No Kuni demo syndrome, where it just drops you in the middle of things and you have no idea what the hell you're doing. And it really leaves a sour taste in your mouth. But I ended up soldiering through that, and I beat the demo and maxed all the characters' levels.
Holy moly.
And beat all the optional bosses and got all the relief sets for the main game. And it was really fun. And I got to say, I'm really looking forward to Square's Q1 output. So yeah, we don't have to, you know, beat a dead horse on that one. I wasn't sure how much we'd already covered of it.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Yeah, it's out there. People should give it a try. Just know though that the demo was kind of a poor way to introduce you to the game.
It's into the deep end, which is kind of why I didn't love it from the outset.
Yeah, yeah, but it's another Square RPG that is looking pretty promising in a different way.
Much
it's got
different,
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got that old kind of FF5 like job system vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're into that, buy that game.
I love job systems.
I love job systems. That's why I liked 13.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't have to spend too long on that.
Did
you want to talk about another game?
Let's the other one that we both played, and now this is our 2013 garbage that we have to talk about.
We won't
by obligation.
Yeah, we won't take out too much of the 2013 garbage. But
old games are old now. Who gives a crap?
I think this is worth talking about because it was on sale for $9.
$9.
So Griffin and I, we both are Vita owners, proud, lonely Vita owners.
If you're with us in 2013 or before, you may know that we're Vita owners.
Yes. And they were having a big old 2014 PlayStation sale, and one of the games on sale was Killzone Mercenary. And at least for me, I don't really play shooters, so I don't know why I made the decision to buy this, but I've always been kind of eyeing it. And I picked it up, and I'm actually having a really good time with it.
Hmm.
And I don't know exactly why. I think it has like the experience points in the form of just getting money from everything, which like really satisfies my OCD impulses. and also the missions, I find them to be really replayable, oddly enough. Like, I haven't really done too much multiplayer, but I just keep replaying the campaign missions, like trying to stealth them, trying to take different approaches with them. And somehow I'm like endlessly entertained by this. This is probably because I've never played FPS before.
Yeah, I was going to say, so when you were telling me, like, it's like Bulletstorm because you get rewards for everything you do. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, cool. So like kill with skill, like you do exotic things and you get bonuses for that. And you're like, well, not really. I mean, like just like picking up ammo and stabbing guys and
you get stealth clears rewards.
And whatnot. You get a bonus for that. I was like, okay, like maybe there's something more to it. But no, that's just kind of how all FPSs work now, where you're just constantly getting patted on the head saying, oh, good job. Good
but
job.
Never in the single player though.
Oh no, it's there are games with that in them, like Crysis and whatnot.
Yeah, well, I have no idea if it's a particularly great FPS. It sounds like it's probably not, but it is on Vita and it is quite playable.
Yes.
And
for $9 it is wonderfully playable.
It looks really great. I'm actually having probably much better of a time than I should be having with it. I don't know, it's just like really dumb, stupid fun to me.
Yeah.
And yes, I really like how all the characters are just like racist.
That's a Killzone game.
They're just the damn hig bastards, just all the time.
Yes, they created their own slang.
But yeah, what's your experience been with it? You're not that into it still?
Well, I played it, and then I played it when you recommended it, and I was like, oh shit, like this is just another first person shooter that, yeah. And then I played a little more, and actually I still started to really like it once I kind of was away from it for a bit. And actually it's because I was playing the multiplayer, the online multiplayer, which is terrible.
What's so bad about it?
Well, you're expected to be playing, like if you've played an online shooter before, like, you know, it requires a certain amount of like fast reaction speeds and minute controls over where your cursor is going, and the ability to like strafe and move effectively around corners and aim down sights and quickly like do all these things that like just require precision on a controller, which is already not the best way to do it. You know, PC mouse and keyboard is undeniably the most accurate way, but now you're shifting it onto this little tiny device, small screen with weird little tiny nubby sticks that aren't very they don't have the fine motion of like a larger controller or something, and they're also missing buttons, and the shoulder buttons are kind of squeaky, and It's just like all these things are terrible when it comes to designing an experience like this. But it also just kind of works too, because it's like, hey, everybody, we're all playing this that's poorly designed together. So let's all kind of like, you know, play basketball where we don't care about double dribbling.
It kind of levels the playing field for me because I'm terrible at shooters. So like I can actually get kills. Like I dropped into a multiplayer match and killed some people and I was like, I'm a golden god.
Yeah, it does have that. Like I do. That's how I feel when I'm playing Blacklight Tango Down on PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm. I haven't even touched that yet.
Like, I am top of the leaderboard every time. And I'm like, this is impossible.
Yeah, I think for me, someone who has not played shooters, it looks good. It's dumb. It's big. The levels are, to me, they're replayable because there's like these kind of cool contracts where you have specific clear conditions. Mm. The multiplayer, like you said, is kind of a hot mess, but it's a hot mess for everyone.
Yep.
So it's good. It was worth $9 a couple days
ago. That's for sure. Yeah.
Suckers.
Yeah. It's got a good title screen.
It does.
I do also enjoy how they, even though it's like a little handheld device and you're like, oh, they're just going to make little corridor missions, which they kind of are, but there's also big, cool set piece moments where you're like, you know, watching this building explode around you while you're flying, hang gliding through the city or something. And it's like draw distance is crazy good. And it's running the in-game engine. You're just like, what? How is this possible?
Yeah, and it's chugging a little bit. Like, the frame rate goes down, but it's nothing terrible. And it is a great-looking game.
Yep.
And I actually kind of like the more claustrophobic environments a little bit. I felt very lost in Shadowfall.
Hmm.
I don't know, but that was just my...
No, I did too, yeah.
I like kind of knowing where I'm going. And I don't know, it's a weirdly fun little game. Huh. I can't say exactly why, but I'm having a good time, and I rarely do with FPS, so...
Mm-hmm. Hey, maybe this is your gateway drug. Pretty soon, Jeff, you're going to be playing all the classics. You're going to be playing Medal of Honors, you know, Big Red One.
Big Red One?
Wasn't that, I think that was a Medal of Honor, Pacific Rim, the Big Red.
Warfighter?
Big Red Cola, I don't know.
Juicy Fruit?
Yep, your pleasure, double your experience this weekend. It's a double XP weekend brought to you by Doritos.
I'm guessing that Xbox One has exclusive double XP weekends in the next Call of Duty release.
Yeah, it's going to be only when you're snapping a side image of a monster truck Slim Jim motocross rally under the side of your screen while you're playing.
Yes. So that was good. I had a good time with Killzone.
It sure was. It's fine.
It's worth $9.
2014, the game of the year of the okay game.
I mean, but yeah, they're all okay games.
The year of tempered expectations.
I'm still really excited for Bravely Default. And also, remember, our expectations were increased for Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Well, no, I mean, yes. They were increased. Yep. Yeah. I am more excited. My expectations are still in the dog shit realm. It's just I'm more happy to be there.
I'm pretty sure I will buy that game.
Yeah, I might too.
So that's good. I mean, I was always thinking about it, but
I think I need to populate my shelf with more games where I have the first and the third of the trilogy, but not the second.
What other titles do you have that for?
I don't know, actually.
I guess you could do MGS if you really hated Metal Gear Solid 2. That'd be worthwhile. Yeah. You like 2, don't you?
No, not really. But I have the box that gives you all of them.
Okay. You the Essential Collection or whatever?
Not the one that came out last year, but the one that was like...
Oh, yeah, I bought that box, too.
It's a nice little box.
That's the box. It doesn't have 4, but it has all the others.
I already got the special edition of 4.
Nice. But no Gunmetal PS3.
No, but it has a Kojima mushroom stamp on the Gunmetal case.
Did Kojima put that stamp on there?
Yeah, with his mushroom head.
Sweet.
No, it's actually just a picture of whatever food he was tweeting that day, I think.
Awesome.
Yep. And the mushroom stamp came from Sean Easton, not Kojima.
Who's that?
He's the new Ryan Payton.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Well, speaking of a year of better video games, I also played some other 2013 games.
Okay, hit me with them.
I played The Swapper.
The Swapper.
Yep.
How was that?
That's a pretty good game.
Oh, yeah? You like it?
Pretty good.
It did not grab me at all.
See, I think it is more enjoyable to me than that one about white walls and block guns.
Oh, antimatter?
Yeah, antichamber.
Or antichamber, rather? Yeah, wow, that's a high praise.
It has that same kind of like unfolding abilities that you've always had all along. You just are discovering them as puzzles are happening, but it's not so obscure. Like, you kind of are given a situation where there's only one way out, and you are kind of forced to learn it instead of like, well, I guess I could just return to the beginning and just do this forever. So it's cool, and it has a cool environment and a cool art style that I like more than that.
This is something you might not have actually known, but the art style was all made from photographs.
I did not know that.
Of actual like shit.
Yeah, it's really cool. It looks like it's like a found object sort of art style, where it's like, oh, this rock looks like it was made from a piece of rock that they took out of somebody's lava chip grill or something, or
pretty much. I think the whole thing might have been made from clay or something. And
it
a couple
has
other
that look.
Tools. Yeah,
yeah. Like was it Harry Rayhausen or something like that? Like the old movie, like claymation movie stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like Rudolph and that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely has that vibe going on. It's unlike anything you've really seen before. I just found myself not really enthralled by the mechanics. I think I was just kind of like down on puzzle games at that particular moment.
Sure. Understandably.
And it is a very puzzly puzzle game.
Yeah. What I enjoy more though is just kind of like the tiny little threads of story that are happening in it, where you're like, oh, wait a second. This is like, it has that portal thing where it's like, what is going on here? Something much bigger. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like alien space station sort of thing. So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely got some interesting vibes going on, but I don't know. I haven't gotten too far in, but
fair
you'll
enough.
Have to let me know.
I don't think I'm
going to
play it anymore either though.
Oh really?
Nope. I'm good.
Okay.
I all got right. to a level where it was like too much.
Yeah, I got overwhelmed pretty quick, and I was like, I don't have the patience to deal with what this game is asking my brain to do.
Yeah. Still really good, though. It's just, I don't want to play you.
That sounds like something you would say to, like, someone whom you were turning down, like, oh, you're so great.
It's not you, it's me. Yeah. I just need to take this moment and, you know, find this area of growth for me, like a... I want to spend more time with Final Fantasy 13 3, Lightning Returns, getting costumes.
She gives me more TNA than you do.
Speaking of things, I played Need for Speed
Rivals
some more, yeah. Actually, I actually watched a lot more than I was playing. Hunter ended up beating the main racer campaign, and like, the end race for that is so crazy. It got to a point where I was like, my old man hands are, there's no way I could do this. And just watching him race through it, I'm just like, my brain cannot process at this speed. Holy moly.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. And it's such a gorgeous game.
Mm-hmm.
And we also found some cool glitches in it. Like, there's this awesome glitch where the road was like, I don't know if it was, it looked like fog. So like half the car was driving underground.
That's awesome.
And then he went off this jump, biggest jump that we were able to find. And then he hit this, like, I don't know if it was because he had sunk through the architecture, but he hit a bump and the car just went forever. Like, it was like, you shouldn't have been able to make this jump. He just like tripled his original jump distance. And it was like, oh, that
awesome.
Was impossible.
That's really cool.
But I know it was a glitch because nothing recorded to the hard drive.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh, that's so weird.
Yep.
Question.
Yeah?
Should if I am someone who casually enjoys like kart racers from time to time, mm-hmm. should I buy Need for Speed?
Nope.
Should I buy Need for Speed if I'm someone who likes games? Should anyone buy Need for Speed?
Yeah. I think Need for Speed is a totally awesome racing game, and mm-hmm. it has some like light kart elements to it where you're like using abilities and whatnot to like blow up other cars and take them out and earn points and things. But
I'm into that.
It definitely gets to be a real racing game pretty darn fast.
I see.
Yeah.
Can you go over jumps?
Yes.
I'm sold.
There are some good jumps in that game.
That's all I need. I need my racing games to be really unrealistic and like absurd, and there needs to be vehicle damage.
Yeah. Oh, there's good vehicle damage. Yeah.
If there isn't vehicle damage, no.
Right. It's like, not Gran Turismo.
Okay. That's good. I might look into it. If it's down to like $10 or something, I'll grab it mid-year maybe.
Sure. Yeah, that might be. Yeah. That would be wrong not to buy that game at $10.
Okay. All right, I got a sense of what it's like now.
Yeah. The other, I played some more of that Hearthstone beta, which I think is open for all those people now. Okay. 2014, the year of the digital card game.
What else is coming?
I don't know. Probably a lot.
Luigi's Solitaire.
Yeah.
For $17 yep. on the eShop.
Le Solitaire.
Solitario.
Yeah.
Solid. Yeah. Okay.
Oh.
Point is, it costs $18 and it's on the Wii Shop, local multiplayer only. And it's the Wii U's next killer app.
Done. Yep. Save that one. Save that one for Year of the Waluigi.
I feel like the only game Waluigi could star in is one where he is abducting kids into the back of his van.
Into the back of what? A Chuck E. Cheese?
His van.
Oh, okay. Let's see. I don't want to talk too much about that Hearthstone game because I think I have before, and it's a card game that's pretty good.
Okay. I'll say quickly that the last bit of 2013 that we're dragging into the new year, because Griffin liked it so much and because I've always been meaning to, I've been playing a lot of Ni No Kuni.
Yes.
And that game's really, really cool.
Yes.
It gets a lot better.
Good thing those podcasts didn't get up. Now we can redo all of them.
No. You're a monster.
Ni No Kuni wins everything.
I think it got short shrift on the soundtrack because that's got a great soundtrack.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a great game. It definitely opens up a ton after you get the boat and your next mode of transportation,
the
which
airship.
Is really, really cool.
Yeah,
the story, yeah, the story, it gets a little better. It gets a little more interesting once you get your third character, for sure. Mm-hmm. He definitely livens up the group.
Yeah.
And some of the like side quests and missions and stuff are still kind of stupid. Like you have to like cure someone who's heartbroken and you need to get like a piece of their heart. And like, there's a dude standing next to them that has the piece you need. And it feels a little basic sometimes, but it's actually kind of a strength too,
yep.
because the game, you get like stamps for everything you finish. And the game is just constantly throwing stamps at you. They're like, here, take 20 stamps. Yep. You're like, okay.
And the stamps are great because they have like we talked about, like amazing in-game rewards that are so worthwhile. Yeah. Not just cosmetic garbage, but also cosmetic garbage.
Yes, like press circle to speed up your air travel.
Right, or jump.
It looks cool. Yeah. So it's great. I'm having a really good time with it. And goddamn, if collecting familiars is not the most addicting thing.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that sucks is that you have such a small chance to get them.
Yeah, yeah. You almost have all of them that matter at this point.
Yeah, I just need the ones for the side quests now.
Yeah.
At this point, so. But yeah, I'm having a great time. I have a feeling I'm getting, I'm probably more than halfway done.
Have you fallen deep into the crafting part of it? Because that's what got me.
Oh god, the cauldron?
Yes, like crafting new weapons and like crafting the unlisted craftable things.
Not too hard, no. Not yet.
Like, crafting things to craft things is where that game got me. Where I was like, okay, I gotta collect these chocolate bars and this old cauldron night helm, and then find five perfect onions. And then with that, I can make a desk lamp. And then the desk lamp I use to combine with these dark shards and butt crystals. And then with that, I form the god blade.
I have a feeling I will probably beat that game, clear out the Colosseum, and then be done. I probably won't do too much other post game stuff. I don't know what's going to be on offer, but
just wait until you finish that game, because it's got some good stuff baked in.
All right, well, I'm excited. I have a feeling that there's going to be a post game character. Spoiler alert. but maybe not. Maybe I get that person before the end of the game.
Maybe. You don't know. We'll see. Who is it going to be? You don't know. We don't know. Who's it going to be?
I already know. The internet spoiled me by accident.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Based on what I know of that individual, it seems like it might be post game.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty darn cool and having a great time. And everyone should buy that game because it's really fun.
It is. Well, no, not everybody. But if you like JRPGs and you like good things, buy that game.
Yeah, and be patient with the kind of crappy beginning story because it gets better. I feel like they always like it's always like maybe one or two things missing that could really elevate it, but it gets cooler. It gets more interesting.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's that.
Cool. I also played the Bonus Saga, and that was okay, I guess.
Okay, you guess?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tactical... I don't know. I played literally the first mission and then had to go and was like, well, this seems like a game with a lot of depth. The end.
All right, so we'll cover that next week, maybe.
Maybe.
I know Jamie played it. He said it was great.
I mean, it didn't grab me at all. Animation's cool, but I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm ready for this kind of tactical RPG right now.
I totally understand.
Yeah.
There's a time and a place.
Then yeah, and I am not feeling this.
Yeah. Like I said, I know Jamie played it and said it was really cool, so hopefully he can give impressions next time he's on here.
Well, speaking of games that have the word saga in their titles, let's move on to news.
Are you speaking of what is clearly the most important news of the week?
Trademark Gate.
Fill us in. I don't want to
because it's dumb.
All right, I'll talk about
you
it.
You do it because I don't want to talk about it because it's dumb.
Okay. I've actually done a little more research, so. I feel like I have a better picture of what is actually going on, more or less. So people are mad because King. Yeah, people are mad. It's shocking. King,
on the internet? Never.
Yeah, it happens from time to time.
Hmm.
Anyway, though, so people are mad because King, the developers of Candy Crush Saga, which your mom probably plays.
actually my mother-in-law, so yeah,
there
you go. Got
See?
It
all my 50 something co-workers really love Candy Crush Saga.
Love it.
Anyway, so it's basically Bejeweled except with freemium elements, where you have to wait a lot and you buy shit.
Yeah,
it's bad, but anyway, it's a shitty game and people are mad because they trademarked the word candy for use with video games and strangely a couple other things. I think like board games or something. I don't know, just in case.
Candyland?
Yeah. So they trademarked candy and people are really pissed because it's really broad. And they're also pissed because they have been going after other people, such as, in fact, the makers of the Banner Saga.
Yeah.
And it's kind of too soon to know exactly what their motivations are. Is what I
not only you said not only do they do candy, but they're also trademarking Saga.
Yeah. So I guess they're trademarking a big portion of their name. I don't know exactly how they're doing it, but they went at the first people they went after were some iPhone shitty developer that made a game called like Candy Casino Slots Jewel Match 2000. It was like a really long name, like kind of like the Lightning Returns thing.
Yeah.
But then they went after the Banner Saga people. And of course, people are mad because the developer of a really shitty game is going after the developer of a game with, you know, a dedicated Kickstarter fan base. So, of course, it's going to, you know, what's the word? You know,
it's going to raise ire with the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Invoke the ire of the internet. As it turns out, it might be a little more complicated. It might be kind of like last year with the Elder Scrolls and Mojang Scrolls, where they're just trying to protect their trademark. It's really not clear yet, but people are pissed is basically the big takeaway. IP law is really dumb is another great takeaway.
Yep.
But too soon to know for sure exactly what's going on there.
Right. Also, there's no point in getting upset about it. Like, what's the worst case that it needs to have, what's going to happen? Banner Saga has to change its name? Fine. It's a dumb name anyway.
Well, one funny thing.
Keep copies of your Xenosaga games because those are going to increase in value.
One funny side effect of it is that a bunch of indie people are doing a candy jam where they make games candy in the title.
Nice.
Just to piss off King, which I think is pretty funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it's really... I don't know if they've actually released an official statement yet, so we don't really know what their motivations are yet. So yeah, keep your pants on, internet. Don't just keep it easy.
Keep your neck bristles bristled.
Yeah.
I'm sure, there's more to get angry about.
So the steam stops pouring out of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a thing.
Hot news of 2014.
I'm touching it. It's hot. All right, what else is going on?
I think we'll save the best for last. So I stumbled across something today which I am most excited about. Yes. Battle Chef Brigade.
Please tell me more about this. This sounds amazing.
Oh my god. It I forget the name of the studio. It's the people that did Awesome Knots and that other game that was pretty good.
Awesome Knots is that game that's like a 2D MOBA that like has a small niche, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a group of three people it's like a little indie studio. But anyway, not getting too mired in the details. The game that they are proposing is half Dungeon Crawler and half Iron Chef. So what the premise is they're saying... So their game design is they want to take like the Iron Chef cooking stadium, which they call like Pantry Stadium. Mm-hmm. And they want to take that like cooking battle, and they want to combine that with like a dungeon crawler platformer beat 'em up hack and slash where you're issued the challenge of the cooking at the beginning, and then you run into the dungeon. You have to slay monsters to get other monsters, presumably. Just progressing through the dungeon, collecting ingredients, and then potentially eating ingredients to increase yourself to get other ingredients, and then you return to the kitchen stadium and you cook your dish.
You know what this kind of reminds me of a little bit?
Everything great.
Dragon's Crown?
Yeah, a little bit. It does.
The cooking minigames?
Yeah, except if it was just inverted.
Okay.
Like, it was all cooking minigame, and then just a little bit of dungeon progression.
I hope that the recipes are just as ridiculous and like nonsensical as they are in Dragon's Crown.
So this is what has me the most excited, and I think this is going to be its make or break point. Is they said that since it's a fantasy game, like you're dealing with dragons and I don't know, chimeras and eyeball monsters and whatnot. Like obviously, if you're going to want to bring ingredients back to your kitchen, you're not going to be able to if you know how to cook something. You know, you're not going to be, just make a shepherd's pie and use these beef and pie crusts and gravy and whatnot. Like, so they're like, no, but we want to keep the recipes fluid. So it's like, if you bring back like a dragon meat or something like that, and you're like, oh, I'm going to make a dragon meat pie, and you have the ingredients to do that, you also are able to deviate from the recipe in ways that will be... Maybe not, they won't make sense to, I shouldn't say, they want to avoid like culinary rules, but they also want to have things make sense. So it's like, if you make your dragon meat pie and then you also throw in like fruits and vegetables of some different kinds, it'll give it different properties, and the judges will take that into effect in their ruling in the end of it. Mm-hmm. So that sounds great to me.
All I'm thinking of is just in Dragon's Crown when you like kill the giant octopus and then there's just big octopus things and you can cook them. If this game delivers even a little bit on that, then yes.
It reminds me of Suikoden 2's Iron Chef minigame, which was one of the best parts about Suikoden 2.
Oh man, I wish I had that game. Sad town.
Yeah, but Iron Chef or Battle Chef Brigade sounds really cool. If they can make all the little pieces work, if you can find some of the art, it is really pretty. Reminds me of dust in an Elysian tail, but less furry. Still furry, but a little less furry.
I'm looking at it right now. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
There is a Blanca.
There is a Blanca. There is also a Chairman Kaga.
I don't know who that is.
That he's from Iron Chef. He's the guy that eats the pepper at the beginning and issues the change. Yeah, like, today's challenge is pig's feet.
I like how in the American Iron Chef, they'd be like, today's challenge is chicken.
Yeah. Today's like secret ingredient is beer.
Like the most easy to cook with things in the world.
So yeah, I just wanted to talk about that because it looks so good. And it's supposed to be coming to PC and maybe consoles in 2014.
Can everything just come to consoles? Can Sony just like get everything to come to consoles?
That'd be nice, yeah.
Game?
Yeah.
I'd be so happy. I think that is the thing that would make me feel most excited about having a new console.
No more PCs.
Just all of the indies came to it.
No more PCs, only the consoles. I'm happy with that.
I'd be all right with that. Even though I have a nice PC, I really would be cool with that.
Yep. In other news, I guess you could say here, I don't know, do you want to talk about how SimCity is proposing they have an offline mode now? Like,
there's not really much to say there except that EA are fucking the worst. And they're like, hey, remember how we said SimCity can't be played offline? Mm-hmm. JK, please buy our game.
Rescued.
Yeah, there's not much to say there except that, they're full of shit. And hey, you can play SimCity offline now. So if that was stopping you, then now you can play it.
Yeah, you can play that game that's made to be played online offline.
Yeah, those fuckers. But yeah, not much going on there. A couple other little minor points before we hit the other two big stories. Or maybe one big story. Did you see any of the Titanfall alpha footage?
No.
Oh, I should have done the have you seen Titanfall joke. How unfortunate.
Is it good or bad?
It looks pretty awesome, I've got to say.
Wow, all right.
It looks very, very kinetic. There are some weird things, like there's a dude just talking all the time, and after like 5 minutes, he runs out of new things to say and just starts repeating himself, which is awkward. But it is super, super kinetic. Like, you're always moving, you can jump really, really high.
Mm-hmm. Have you not seen Titanfall footage before? Like, in the past... 6 months or so?
No, I haven't really watched too much of it, but you should watch the alpha.
I'll see if it's any different.
Yeah. Actually, can you hold on a sec? Jessica needs me real quick.
Yes, of course.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
Yeah. No problem. In other news of 2014, we have Awesome Games Done Quick finished their mega marathon of speed runs and whatnot, raising over $1 million. I don't know. I think they do it biannually, twice a year. So I think this is their winter run, and they'll do is it end of summer? I think kind of they do another one then. So every 6 months or so. We'll have another video game marathon and see records get blown out of the water and whatnot, which is always really cool. And really cool, too, because sometimes those games are more fun to be watched than played. Let's see, what else do we have here on this list? So, as was alluded to last year, The Last of Us will be receiving DLC. This one starring Ellie and her friend or something. It's a thing about things. I don't know much about it, so maybe Jeff will have some insight on that when he returns. While we're waiting for him, let me just talk here about some things that I'm thinking about. Man. So I was thinking about that Battle Chef Brigades thing. Well, actually, just cooking in general is pretty rad, and I think there needs to be some more like competitive style cooking games, like not Cooking Mama. Cooking Mama is fine and all, like with making recipes and hitting your notes. It's actually more of like a rhythm game than it is a cooking game, but it's inspiring. It's one of those things that you do and then you're like, oh man, I feel like I could go make an omelet. like when I watched the movie Ratatouille. But I think that, you know, the cooking game has been kind of disappeared. You know, there needs to be like a real interesting competitive cooking game, but also like that would, what a challenging design decision. Like, would it be more interesting to have real cooking elements in there? Like if you are combining ingredients properly, or what determines them to be properly, or if you deviate from the rules, are you rewarded, or what makes, because, you know, typically in a cooking, in the cooking mini games that exist in video games, you kind of have your, this is your rule, you do this, and then you take that and you combine it with this, and when that is all said and done, you have your finished product. Like, it's A, B, C, ingredient crafting, boom, bam, no real skill involved. So I would love to be able to play a game that somehow combines both those things of, like, ingredients-based cooking video games, and then also, like, exploration and deviation and rewarding for that. So,
yes.
Battle Chef Brigades. Super cool.
Have you just been talking up Battle Chef Brigade in my absence?
Yeah, kind of. I also talked about Awesome Games Done Quick briefly, and I don't know much about The Last of Us, but I did say that that's a thing that's happening.
Yeah, it's not really very newsworthy. This is all just stuff that I noted. But hey, if you want some DLC for The Last of Us, it's out on February 14th.
Yeah, what is it? Is it Ellie and something?
Yeah, it's Ellie and another girl her age. And the way it looks, I think the other girl will be taking point with Ellie as a support role again. And it is before she met Joel.
Okay.
And I'm ready to return to that world.
So
I'm
this girl's
excited.
Probably going to give Ellie her knife or something, right?
Probably something like that. Kind of like Cloud getting the Buster Sword.
Yeah.
Crisis poor.
Oh man, that'd be so good if at the end of the Last of Us DLC you were just like fighting endless waves of Shinra
zombies. I'm really hoping that they retcon in one-winged angels.
Yep. Yeah.
I feel like I'm most excited for PlayStation 3 titles.
Geostigmata.
Don't even talk about that game. It's the worst.
No, it's the best.
I feel like I'm most excited about like PS3 releases this year, honestly.
Really?
Which makes sense because there hasn't been that much announced for PS4 yet.
Okay.
But like, I don't know. I've been getting what?
I said okay.
I don't know. But yeah, there's not too much going on there. Did you cover anything else, or should we move on to the next?
No, we just have the big boys to talk about now.
Okay. Let's start with Microsoft, I guess.
Yeah, I think that one's, we can summarize that one quickly.
Yeah, we can get through that one pretty quick. So news broke the other day through, I don't know where, NeoGAF or something. Or I think it was a Machinima tweet or something.
Yeah.
Basically, Machinima was running a promotion with its YouTubers in partnership with Microsoft, where you could be rewarded with extra money, like an extra $3 per 1,000 clicks, if you followed certain criteria. You had to include 30 seconds of footage of an Xbox One game being played or more. You had to say it was being played on the Xbox One. You had to say only neutral or positive things about the Xbox One and related services, which I think is hilarious. And that all sounds well and good, but the big kicker was that you could not tell anyone. And the problem with that, of course, is that if that is, in fact, what Microsoft meant, that is a violation of FTC rules or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's funny because the promotion was only like $3,750 and it was 2 days long. But Microsoft is getting in a lot of trouble because, you know, everything is kind of, they were, it seems at least just from looking at the document, like they were trying to tell YouTubers that they were not allowed to tell people. And it kind of highlights a couple of things. First of all, it highlights how those YouTubers that you think are like new media and are going to challenge the establishment, maybe you shouldn't trust them because mm-hmm. they're much easier to buy than like your IGNs and your GameSpots.
Right.
And also, it just shows how crazy and how much of a Wild West like YouTube is. And I don't know, did you have any thoughts about that? Did you hear about it?
Yeah. I think that the Mega 64 video that went up is pretty, does this justice. I think it's pretty good.
What do they say in the video?
It's them talking positively about Dead Rising, and then 95 minutes of installing, downloading and installing 13 gigs of data, and then talking positive about it again.
I saw that video. Was it tagged with the X1 MB or whatever?
No, I don't know if it was, but it fits so perfectly with this story that's breaking.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's like Microsoft has done enough to put themselves in hot water, and I don't know why they would do something like this. It's really dumb. If they want to stop being villains, they really should.
Right. I'm sure there's good nature behind it where it's like, hey, we'll throw you a bone if you want to talk about the X-bone.
I guess. I mean, it's just so dumb. I don't know why they would take that chance. It seems like such an idiotic move, and especially for such a small amount of money.
Right.
But, you know, I think the bigger takeaway, at least for me, is just that, you know, don't trust YouTubers because they're not any different. The only difference they have is that they're more easily bought than someone who's being paid real money at a real
company to do their
job. Don't
trust anybody. Just don't listen to anybody who says anything about video games. They're all on the take.
Yes, especially everybody who actually do podcasts about them.
Yeah, they're the worst.
They're getting paid handsomely.
Felons.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, money hats. Just pools of money hats.
Oh yeah,
I ate a money hat for dinner tonight.
Speaking of money hats, did you hear that the Xbox One is a really cool console?
You know, I've only heard okay and middling things about that system.
Yes, every opinion
but boy, I've received that
Kinect
from
the many,
sure
from
works.
The many diverse voices have been either neutral or positive. That system has at least a C rating in my mind.
7.5 or better.
Yes. Now may I have my $3?
Absolutely. It's checks in the mail.
Sweet. Hey, you know who the check is not in the mail for?
Tell me.
Nintendo's investors.
What? Why not?
Because they just revised their profit forecast from a $55 billion gain to a $55 billion yen gain to a 25 billion yen loss, because they went from 9 million Wii U's potentially being sold in the year to 2.8 million Wii U's. And they also, oddly enough, really missed their 3DS forecast. I think they said 18 million and they only got 13.5.
Yep.
So the sky is falling and Nintendo's fucked, right?
Holy shit, yep. Start buying anything Nintendo right now because that's going to be a collector's item in a month. That company's dead, I tell you. Sell, sell, sell.
They should just put Mario on smartphones right now.
That's right. Buy America. Tomorrow. Fuck those rice-burning systems.
Can we just make really like harebrained and uninformed suggestions for what Nintendo should do?
Yes.
Nintendo should release Mario on the original Xbox right now.
Nintendo should make a Dark Zelda. Everybody wants it.
You're a horrible person. I hate you. Yeah, I mean, so it's a pretty big deal.
I want a realistic Pokemon, assholes.
And yeah, also on the Wii U because
you know what? Nintendo needs to make a new console. It's time to get away from as far from the Wii U as possible.
Yeah, they should release a new console tomorrow.
They should.
In fact, they should just annualize their consoles.
They should.
Because you can do that in the game world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not in a good way. Actually, there was a rumor that was floating around about them developing new hardware. I mean, I'm sure they are developing
new hardware. Of course they're going to develop new hardware.
But, I mean, I guess the question is, what do they do now? Because the Wii U is not selling well, and I'm really not sure. Like, given how poorly Mario sold, I'm not sure what will turn the Wii U around. I think that's their big... I mean, look, they missed estimates on the 3DS, which isn't great, but I think the Wii U is really hurting them really badly right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what they do. You know, Iwata said they're going to change their business structure, which sounds rather ominous, but...
Right.
Who knows what the hell that means?
No more third parties.
They've been doing that for over a year.
And what is, he's peeling away the Nintendo seal of approval, and now he's just like, all shall pass.
There's actually, if you look at Nintendo's history, there are a lot of great statements from their former president and from, like, Miyamoto, where they're basically like, we don't see the value of multi-platform games, so we're just not going to have them on our systems.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Which pretty much explains why they're in the position they're in now.
Yeah. I mean, everybody can prognosticate as much as they want about how this spells the doom for Nintendo and this is the end. And it doesn't look great, but Nintendo has weathered worse storms with the GameCube. And, you know, it's been through its you know, turns in the game industry, you know, with the, I mean, everything hasn't been like this, the N64 was rough. The GameCube was rough. I mean, it was.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, the Wii U is selling a lot worse than the GameCube was.
Yeah, you're right.
Unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, this isn't going to kill them. Nintendo was not dead. And
no, and by no means are they going to start pushing their games and whatnot out to other consoles right now. Because if they do, what do they have left? Like, you completely devalue your product if you do that.
I know, yeah.
So that is the most foolish thing possible.
Yeah, look what that did for Sega. I mean, look how much quote-unquote better they're doing now than they were even when the Dreamcast wasn't doing that well.
I'll tell you what. Here's the solution. You make a video game about being Iwata, the president of Nintendo, and in your video game you have to design and market a new console, and you have to go and in a RP with RPG light elements combined with adventure strategy, you have to revitalize Nintendo from its failing state, and then if you do win, you get turned into the new president of Nintendo.
Don't forget randomized Nintendo Direct encounters.
Oh, yes.
About once a month you have random Nintendo Direct encounters.
Yeah. You actually have to cut a promo and send that in to Nintendo when you beat the game.
In these encounters, you have to do such things as look at bananas.
Yeah.
Sit next to a life-sized inflatable me version of yourself. Yeah. Et cetera, et cetera.
Blame everything on the lighting of the stage.
Yeah, they're in a rough spot, but you never count Nintendo out, of course.
No.
Kind of a platitude, but yeah, you never should. And they're definitely not dead. I mean, maybe this means they exit the home console business. Maybe this means they rethink their home console strategy. Because I will say one problem, I think, with Nintendo's Wii U output was just that there wasn't enough of it.
Right.
They're just spread too thin, and they're not big enough,
mm-hmm.
you know, to develop for two consoles, and you know, devote enough resources. I mean, look, you know, Sony is only focusing on one console, and they're, you know, they kind of shored up Vita support by luring in some indies, and they have kind of a novel strategy there. I don't really think that's going to work for the Wii U. There's just no audience except mm-hmm. for Nintendo fanboys, and they are getting everything they want on 3DS. They're getting the new Zelda game,
right.
You know, so it's like,
yeah, and approaching that third party market of like the Me Too is like, well, we're gonna get the Call of Duty games on the Nintendo Wii U, so we can have parity with those systems. I mean, I think that if there is no worse time to have that sort of a market sense than right now, when you have new consoles out there that are better performing, you haven't burnt so many bridges with so many publishers already that's something that you could viably do. I mean, I think if Nintendo has one thing to do right now, it is double down on their Nintendo-ass Nintendo nonsense. And that means, like, it's time to make more Mario. Like, as awful as that sounds.
Don't you say that.
No.
They could at least mine the back catalog, I feel like.
Right. But, I mean, it's time for something new Mario. Not, oh, it's another, you know, wah-wah Mario on the Wii U this time. It's something new and interesting. Like,
yeah.
I mean, one may say that Mario World, or Super Mario, or what is it? Super Mario World for Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
3D World was that new and interesting thing, but like, yes, but like, what about breaking new ground like Mario Party did, or like Wii Sports did? Like, there, that doesn't exist for the Wii U, and that is what Nintendo excels at.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you know, obviously 3D World might be the most accessible 3D platform of all time, but it's still an established genre. They need to shake it up. They need maybe some new IPs. Definitely, you know, keep putting out that Nintendo stuff, because third parties are long gone. There's no way you're getting them back. Mm-hmm. You've made them. First of all, their games don't sell on your platform. You haven't really done anything to win them over, and you're behind on the hardware, so they're not. I mean, at least on the 3DS front, they've got like Square Enix and Capcom. And Square Enix and Capcom.
Yep. Here's my solution.
Atlas.
More Star Fox dating sims.
It was.
Yes. Yeah.
There's like only one girl in all of Star Fox.
Star Fox dating sim. I can't let you do that, Star Fox. Ah. Space cockblock wolf.
I'm pretty sure there's just the one girl. That...
Well, that's why it's so challenging.
It'd just be Star Fox Sausage Fest.
Slippy, you know.
Oh my god, Slippy the Toad. What a great euphemistic name. Pepe Falco is
gender
not quite as
equality.
Peppy as he used to be.
What's that?
I said Pepe Falco is not quite as peppy as he used to be.
Pepe and Falco?
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean Pepe O'Hare. Sorry.
Pepe O'Hare and Falco Lombardi.
Yes. So Pepe, my joke was that he has penis problems. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
here.
Totally. Yeah. You know, yeah, let's do that. If we don't want, there's no more Mario, Sonic and Mario at the Olympic Games. Here's your $1 million game pitch idea, Nintendo. Nintendo All-Stars Dating Sim. Wait, who's that? Who's that looking at Birdo? Who is it? It's
Waluigi.
No!
Is Bert, I guess we'd find out whether Berta was a man or a woman.
It's
maybe
it's
it doesn't
a lady,
matter.
I thought.
I don't think it matters.
Okay. It doesn't matter.
Love knows no boundaries.
That's right. Can love form on the battlefield?
Only when the battlefield is some random sports game.
Right.
And all the Mario people are playing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they need to diversify a little bit, I think. You're right about exploring new genres. I do think something's got to give, though. I think that the big change in business model, I don't know. That's probably just paying lip service, but I think long term, they've got to be thinking about leaving consoles behind, or at least like making a combination handheld console, you know?
Like the Wii U.
Well, like the Wii U, except you can take the tablet with you and game on it independently.
I was just being flippant.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's it might give you hints as to what their future direction is, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We shall see. I mean, I think that looking ahead to a future Nintendo console is crazy talk.
That's true.
It's that mentality of, like, that teen mom behavior... on MTV's Teen Mom, where it's like, everything's hard right now, let's have another baby. That's not going to solve your problems, Nintendo. You can't squeeze out another system right now.
Yeah. They might try. I'm afraid that they'll have like a system that centers entirely around the vitality sensor.
If only, yeah. That's where your dating sim comes in. What does Joel McHale have to say about that?
I don't know.
He was there for the vitality sensor when it first was announced.
They should just make him the new CEO of Nintendo of America.
I think so, yeah. The defunct Nintendo of America.
Yeah, I don't know. An interesting piece of it is that Iwata, at least so far, has said he will not resign. Mm-hmm. After kind of hinting that he might if he didn't live up to expectations.
Well, because the profits were so bad, simply. Like, his plan to increase profits this year, obviously, is the opposite of that, so...
Yeah, I've seen his refusal to resign framed in different ways on the internet. Some people think it's good because, you know, Iwata is, like, the only CEO who actually makes games. Like, he used to work for HAL Laboratory. Mm-hmm. He was a developer. So he has like an actual history. He understands it. And he also like definitely is pushing for like a long-term strategy, I think, for Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the fear is that like a new guy might just make Nintendo profitable in the short term, like farm Mario out to smartphones, but then you kill the value of the IPs. So
maybe,
I don't know. It'll be one to watch. They always say on NeoGAF, Panic Nintendo is best Nintendo. So we'll have to see what happens.
Nintendo is dead. Long live Nintendo.
Pretty much. They're definitely not dead, but
yeah,
it's weird. It's weird times for them to be struggling so much when they were doing so great for like 7 years. Mm-hmm. But that 3DS, fun system.
Sure is. Let's have more of that.
Yeah. All those. New Fire Emblem.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, though.
Well, that's our list for this 2014 year. We're done now.
We made it.
We're done. Yep. It's all over.
Sweet.
It's 13 days until the end of time.
I'm going to buy that game. I'm going to pre-order that game.
Do it. Don't buy Sonic. Use your bad judgment decision. Like, play your bad judgment decision on pre-ordering this.
This will actually be the only FF13 game that will sit on my shelf because I sold the original Final Fantasy 13 out of like anger and fury.
So I have that one, but I have it on PS3, and I'm gonna get this for Xbox because I feel like it's the most blasphemous way to play it. So that's the most effective way to get it.
That's just gross.
Exactly, right?
You can't put those next to each other.
No, yeah, but they won't be. They'll be segregated.
When the lights are off, they'll come together.
But yeah, I feel like playing it on 360 is the best way to play it since it's the filthiest way to play it.
You are a dirty man.
Yeah.
You're gonna use all those costumes, aren't you?
I'm gonna use them all.
All right, dude.
All right. Let's end this show. Thank you for listening. Hopefully podcasts surface to the internet reality and make it to your feed so you don't have to go download them and put them into your library or whatever people do who don't use iTunes, you savages.
We'll have to jack into the Matrix and destroy them.
That's right. Anyway.
All right.
Goodbye.
Bye.